Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now Channel 525.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this, what day is this? The 16th, isn't it?
15th.
Is the 15th?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That was Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All right, you did it. Okay. Now she's going to go in the back where the guys are at, back there in the phone booth. And we got Randy, Frank, and Eric back in the booth, back in the back. Pastors, mighty men. They're mighty and they're bold. And they're mighty old, too. But they're in the back in the booth. And there we got in the glass cage. That's right. Our producer tonight is none other than Ken. Hey, Ken.
How you doing, Pastor?
Well, I'm hanging in there. Now we're going to go all the way out to Missouri with that Missouri legend, the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Good evening, one and all. Glad to be with you. And we're looking for an exciting week. There is a lot going on in this world, isn't there?
This is Pledge Week. I'm going to give the numbers out, and then we need to do some prayers because it's been a tough time since, well, for me, and here, since Christmas Day, it's been a rough, we'll pray about that in a minute. But phone lines are open at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. This is Pledge Week. Again, phone lines are open at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. And Lisa pledges from Ohio, 125. Linda in Ohio, 550. And Wendy in North Carolina, 800. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All righty, folks, we're off to start. Joe, I'm going to open in prayer tonight because, first of all, we wanted to. It's been a tough, and of course, you know, we had some tough months last year financially, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come before you, Lord, first of all, we want to thank you for choosing us even before the foundation of the world. We want to thank you, Lord, for making us your people and for all the blessings. And Lord, I want to thank you for all the people out there that supported this ministry this past year here. I know a lot of them, they gave, Lord, even though, you know, they could feel it when they gave. They didn't give out of their abundance, but out of what little they had. But it's because of the cause. The cause is a righteous cause. So I want to thank you for all of those folks. Thank you, Lord, for all of the nice letters that we got for the church, for all of us here. Because we've had a rough time with what has been put upon us, with what's been sprayed upon us and given to us with this here bioweapons. And a lot of people are very out there. The vast majority of people still don't. They're still oblivious to what's been happening out there, Lord. But at least we've been getting the message out and letting people know what it is that's been making them sick. But we thank you, Lord, for pulling us all through. We didn't lose any of our people. But it got really tough at times, very tough. And we ask for all of those out there tonight, Lord, that you would be a blessing to them. Hedge around about their homes, your church. As we know that we're heading straight for war with the deep state Antichrist world system. We know it from now until the time you get back, it's going to be running to the battle. It's going to be nothing but a battle, a real battle. So we thank you for choosing us to represent you in this battle. Give us the wisdom, the direction. Give us a love and a courage like we've never had, a boldness, Lord, that we've never had. Give us that fire we need to run, Lord. And there's the horrible things that's happening out there with the child sex trafficking and everything that the deep state's doing. Lord, use us in a mighty, mighty way, Father. Lord, even as avenging angels, Lord, to bring America back to one nation under God, sparing the children. This we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. And I have one quick prayer. Well, it was about 10 days ago, the Perry High School there in Iowa, the school principal was critically wounded in a school shooting while he was trying to protect his students. And he died this Sunday, and his family is announcing a GoFundMe page for high school principal Dan Marburger. Dan Marburger. And I'd just like the folks to pray with me, say a prayer for each family and students and everyone. Dear Heavenly Father, the school shooting was a horrible trauma. One 11-year-old was killed. As you know, six others were injured, and the 17-year-old that was the shooter died of a self-inflicted wound. We know that things are going very crazy out there, and we would just ask your prayers now with the death of the principal, Dan Marburger, prayer for his wife and family, that, Lord, the family and the friends and the students and the teachers, all of those that are suffering over his death, all of those that are just that emotional pain that comes with the loss of someone you love. Apparently, this is a very brave man, and Lord, I would just ask that you bless all of those that are suffering right now in pain, that you would be with his wife, especially Elizabeth, and just the entire school, Lord, that you would bring peace to that school and to all those students and all those teachers, that somehow they may get back to some semblance of normalcy. And we ask this in that precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks, Jim. Folks, the number again is 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. We really need to hear from you. We really got to make up for the loss last year. So give us a call. It was a tough year, but Joe, everything we said was going to happen happened, didn't it? And we're going to be talking about this too.
Sometimes it's not a lot of fun to be right, is it?
Right. And it looks more and more like we told you about how Biden will soon turn against Israel. And that is one of the end times prophecies. But we'll get into that more into the message. So let's go back into the message. Well, Tony in Toronto just pledged $125. Thank you, Tony. Okay, the title of the message, Joe, do you remember?
Can you feel it in the air?
Yeah, we can. There's you can feel the fight, the electricity, the righteous cause in the air. What we're going to be up against. It's going to be a very, very interesting year, folks. We got to be ready for it.
But we see the people in Ohio, the voting taking place. I mean, in Iowa. Severe cold, bad weather, and the Trump supporters are out in force, and they are all projecting a very big victory for him.
They're already calling Iowa for Trump tonight. They're already calling it.
And I think it's going to be a very big victory, and we'll know a little later.
They said it's the largest in history, Joe. That's what it's looking like.
So if it carries across the country, we've got a counter-revolution going. The people have been listening. We've been telling them it's a communist revolution that they're trying to foment on us. And the people, I think, are waking up and they're hearing. And they're ready to get out and vote and take a stand.
All right. Very good. Teresa in Texas pledges 160. And Beverly in New York pledges 1,000. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we're off to a good start. Praise the Lord, folks. Keep it coming. Thank you so much, all you folks that have supported us all year long, and we hope we have never let you down. It'll be going on 51 years. We've never compromised, not ever. Okay, it doesn't mean we haven't made a mistake, but we've already come back and been the first to report it. But we've never compromised in that 51 years, and we're not about to now. So, Joe, let's start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's read, why don't you read verse, well, let's take it a verse at a time, Joe. Read verse 1.
I think we ought to. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come.
All right, now, Paul, in other places in the Scripture, except for here with Peter, it's in end times or later times, but this is very specific. He's talking about the last days, specifically the last part of the sixth dispensation period, huh?
Right.
And so here now.
It's only twice in the Bible. I can't remember where the other place, but there's two places where he says last days.
Yeah, it's over in Peter.
Peter, yeah.
And here, he's making another point where he says perilous. Now, that word perilous is another word, is what we use, the same word. It's translated furious. Furious. It's a furious and fierce or furious. And boy, we're seeing that, aren't we?
We sure are.
Okay. And so, a furious time shall come. Now, Paul, when he was talking about the last days, was obviously, he was referring to a time still far in the future, which is here now. Okay. Bob in New York pledges 500. Deacon John pledges 100. Thank you, thank you. Keep it coming, folks out there. All right, now, here, Joe, go ahead and read verse 2.
For men shall be lovers of their own selves. I can hardly get past that one. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy.
Let me ask you this. What group of people would be the most lovers of their own selves? It's actually a part of
Sodomites.
Well, that's true, but humanist. This Harari.
Humanism in general.
Right. Yeah, this Harari and that, they talk about this, but you're seeing lovers of their own selves. What does that mean? Now, if you're a lover of yourself, what are we supposed to love more than anything else?
God.
Right. But if you love yourself more than God, what are you doing?
You're being disobedient, one, because thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy might. This is the first commandment.
Right? Well, you're making yourself a God, too, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so he goes on in verse 3. Go ahead and read verse 3.
Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good.
Okay, so those, if they despise those that are good, they hate those that are good, okay, who is, remember what Scripture said, there's none good, only who? God.
God, right.
Until you get saved. We're not good of our own accord, but good through to the righteousness of Christ, huh?
Right, exactly. But they're also saying those of us that are followers, that are born-again believers, we're hated now more than ever. They're despising anyone that's a conservative Christian. And you can see that because the battle is going on between, well, we talked about the spiritual battle between the church and the Antichrist. And those in the church are the what? Godly believers, the born-again believers.
You know, I missed some of my intro commentary. Let me go back there and do that. Right now, there are two very diverse winds of change sweeping the globe. To get an accurate account of what lies ahead, we turn to the only reliable source of truth in existence, and that's God's Word, the King James Bible, which is literally a pre-recorded account of history. Now, here, as we're starting over here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, again, we're talking about, as we start here, because this is the, this account gives you, as far as the last days, the closest time to the end, okay? And so here, we have never, ever known such a time as today when people are so full of themselves. We just read that. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce despisers of those that are good. They're so full of themselves. Now, I want you to think about this, Joe. Who is it that says, I am the one that you've been waiting for?
Barack Obama.
Do you think Barack
kind
of... I am the
one I've been waiting for. He even added that. I am the one I've been waiting for.
Would you say that maybe that renowned couple Bill and Hillary today would be examples of people that are full of themselves?
That would be an extremely good example of someone who's full of themselves. That, and you've got all these Hollywood people that just think they are the cat's meow and their fan clubs and their egos. And but Bill and Hillary are right up in there.
I was watching the congressional hearings and had Jamie Raskin. This guy has got absolutely just no shame in him as far as lying. It's just unbelievable to watch this guy, and he knows, and he's got that little smirk on his face. He knows he's flat out lying. And, you know, when Chris Ray does that under oath, it's like, so what? Who are you going to do? I'm not going to arrest myself, right? Okay.
Yeah, well, remember, their motto is the end justifies the means. They don't care what they have to do as long as the end result is achieved. So they are striving for the end result.
Now, let me ask you about these two. What about Joe and Hunter Biden?
Hunter Biden is just a low-life creep, crook, deceitful liar, womanizer. I mean, he's just plain, you know, white trash.
All righty, let's pick it up in verse 4. Traitors,
Haiti,
go ahead.
No. Traitors, Haiti, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God.
Okay, when he talks about lovers of pleasure, what is the main thing today, the pleasure that they're seeking today?
Boy, some levels, just everything seems to be sexual.
That's it. This is the sexual revolution, isn't it?
It is. And then on the other hand, it's the just the seeking pleasure, the drugs, the alcohol, the gambling. Everything that's going on is a search for pleasure, bigger and better stuff, bigger, fancier cars and dinners and they keep the ads about the extravagant hotel rooms and restaurants, five-star fancy restaurants. Everything is about this ultimate living, being in the fast lane, living the high life.
What about that? What was taking place today in the politics with those that are going after President Trump? That Fannie, what is her name from Georgia there?
Yeah, Fannie Willis.
Fannie Willis, right. She was an AMA church. In this church.
Well, that's not a church. They call it a church, but it gave up. It gave that up a long time ago.
It's an apostate church, and she was. Do you remember? Do you know what she was saying? That she was justifying her shacking up. She asked. They were asked. Well, she was trying to say this is another. She's playing the race card again.
Right.
That they went after.
Because she's a black woman and he's a black man, and nothing about her immoral behavior, nothing about her lying.
Yeah, but she said she chose him. Or in other words, why didn't they go? She wanted to know why they didn't go after the other two, because they were white. And the fellow that's bringing these charges says no, because the other two aren't sleeping with you.
Right.
And she said, well. How did she justify sleeping with him?
That part I missed.
She said, I'm a black woman, okay, and in this day and age, she pretty much says, it's kind of expected of us. Not in so many words.
Yeah, I get the drift. She didn't say it in words, but yeah, it's like, well, I'm a black woman, and you have no right to judge my,
right, standing right there in the church, yeah. Okay,
in a church, you have no right to judge my morality, right.
Right. There was no morality there.
Church, yeah, there's no morality there.
So, and today, what we're seeing here today is worse. Even back in the 60s, you remember back in the 60s, we had Jane Fonda and John Kerry's and Jerry Rubin, Bill and Hillary's and, but even then, listen, even then with the anti-war movement, and even then we didn't see such unthankful, unholy young people who want to eliminate the entire nation of Israel. And they're being led by the same demonic spirit that controlled Pharaoh and Haman and Herod and Hitler and you saw what happened Saturday night there. They stormed the White House. And what would... And they almost tore the fences down. They had to evacuate some of the people in the White House.
Yeah, they were throwing things at the police, rocks and bricks and things. And not one person, you notice, not one was arrested, kind of like the riots that we had back with the Black Lives Matter riots. They didn't arrest them. They stood by and watched them burn down car dealerships and destroy liquor stores, burn buildings, take over police stations, and very few people for all those horrendous crimes. And people were murdered, and very few people were arrested. And those that were, of course, our vice president was busy trying to get bail for them, get them back out in the street and back in the riots.
Read verse 5.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It screams.
Just a minute. So Bill in Boston pledges 100. Bill in Boston. Thank you, Bill. Go ahead, Joe.
So many of those that are claim to be, Roman Catholic, and then they get up and they want to kill babies, and there isn't a bad abortion, and they just never have anything against sin. We just see that in that what it's the form of godliness. Well, I'm a good, what's the phrase, faithful Catholic. Yeah, I've heard that by several of the people on the left, and the last thing they are is faithful to Christ.
You know, you're right now. In fact, did you know that right now that one Catholic bishop is asking for the Pope to be removed? Because of what is happening in the Vatican, the sodomy is so, and he was saying how that virtually they have a porno shop in the Vatican, and it's the Catholic Bishop Vergano, he is coming out and he's asking the police in the Vatican police, what are they called there? Guard, the Vatican Guard,
mm-hmm.
he's asking them to remove the Pope, and he's one of the bishops. And so,
well, was he one? He wasn't the one that got thrown out, was he?
I think he was. Hang on, we'll be right back. I'll remember in November. You can count on that already. We have with us tonight George Corneille. Hey, George.
Hello.
Hey, George. You're in the air.
Oh, okay. Great. There was a bad connection or something.
All righty. Listen, I'm going to get with you just 1 minute, but I wanted to read this. This was what we were closing the first half with, the first 30 minutes, but here, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vagano has called for the Swiss Guards, that's what they're called, Joe, the Swiss Guards, to remove and arrest Pope Francis and Cardinal Victor Manuel Tucho Fernandez after the discovery of a pornographic work by Fernandez. Archbishop, I made a mistake. I thought it was a workshop before, but it's a work, he says. Archbishop Vagano wrote on X, that used to be the Twitter, the blasphemous sewer regulations of Tucho's repulsive pamphlet show such a level of perversion and alienation to the faith as to demand the expulsion of Manu Maliti of the Argentinian and his accomplishments. The Swiss Guard have sworn to defend the See of Peter and not one who is in systematically demanding it. Let them, therefore, be faithful to their oath and to arrest their heretical parents. Well, at least Fagano, he stands for something. Anyhow, he, you know, and you're right. I think they removed him for taking a stand. But that this Pope is, he's a pure Antichrist, isn't he?
Exactly. He's not even a pastor, let alone the high and mighty Pope.
Alrighty, let's go to George Carneal. George, you have written a book, From Queer to Christ, My Journey into the Light, and you were here with us on the program a while back. And tonight, we're using your book, Joe, or George. The folks that have called in tonight, the folks that have pledged tonight, anyone who has pledged $40 or more, and which has been everybody, you are eligible to receive George Carneal's book, which is an absolute dynamite book when it comes to counseling and helping people tell a story to come out of that life, that death style, I should say, a death style of sodomy. So all of you folks that have pledged tonight, anyone who's pledged 40 or more, just make sure that when you send your payment or whatever, you request the book. Just say, I want the book. From Queer to Christ. Tell us very quickly, let me first give the numbers out one more time, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Bill in Boston just pledged $200, so thank you, Bill.
And Pastor Ernie, let's remind people that 281-1110 is the credit card line. You can call in, use your credit card, and make your donation tonight with your pledge.
Absolutely. So, but go ahead and tell us about your book, George.
Okay, it's basically, if there are Christians or people in general who don't understand the issue, having a father who's a pastor and grew up in the church, I just wanted to share what it was that really laid the foundation as to how I got into that lifestyle and what God had to do to reveal the lies and to get me out of that lifestyle. So I hope it will also just help Christians to better understand the issue so they can approach the LGBTQ individuals with more compassion and empathy, because God does love them and Jesus died for them. And there are a lot of broken individuals in that community, and they need to know that there is hope in Christ. But I also wanted to give hope to parents who have children in that lifestyle to know that it's nothing that God can't handle. God is pulling people out of that lifestyle, and I just want them to know that there is hope and that they know what to do and what not to do in terms of how to handle this issue, because a lot of kids, including myself, cut off parents, and I cut off my father for 4 years. So there's a certain way that you need to handle this. But lastly, if there are LGBT individuals who are listening or even read the book, I hope that they will stop for a moment if they've listened to the other side and that narrative. I hope they will understand they are being lied to. And it was really just sharing what God had to do to reveal those lies to me. And I detail and outline all of that in the book. So I hope it will help Christians to be better equipped in terms of how to even witness to the LGBT individuals, because I take their talking points and I debunk it with scripture. So, share it with your friends and family members, but especially those who are trapped in that lifestyle.
You do exactly that, and that is one of the things I like about your book so much there. Because I've had probably at least 25, you know, situations where people have come out of that death style and wanted to be on the radio program, but most of them were pretty much duplicate of each other. But yours is a little different here, and it's kind of tough sometimes growing up having a Baptist preacher as your father, huh?
It was, and it was really a struggle trying to understand something that I didn't ask for, didn't know where it came from, and especially in the 70s and the 80s when people weren't coming out, and this really wasn't talked about a lot. I was really struggling with this monster in my head, and I really had a negative view of God, and I hated Christians, but thankfully God was very patient with me and really worked with me. And I hope that when people read the book, that by the end of it, they will truly see how wonderful the God we serve is, because he's truly long-suffering, patient, merciful, and gracious. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for anyone else, no matter what the bondage is. There's hope always in Christ, and as long as we are living, there is hope.
So you found out, like, well, it sounds like some some children of some other Baptist preachers I might know, Joe. But you found out, George, that your father was strict with you, not because he hated you, but he didn't want you to end up burning in hell, did he?
Correct. I wished he had made that clear when I was younger, because whenever he would have or broach this subject with me, I really was on the defensive, because I hope that Christians and especially parents will hear this. The difficulty with this issue versus any other addiction or bondage is that those individuals can still go home at night and crawl in bed with someone that they love, and they can help them through it. But when you are being told that you must choose between following your heart and wanting to love and be loved, and it be an abomination to God, or you follow God, but yet you now may end up living a life of loneliness, it is such a dilemma and a battle, because we all want to love and be loved. And I really just felt like my father was just taking the knife and just digging it in and twisting it. But when I later realized that he was just concerned about where I would spend eternity, it really was a game changer for me. But it is a very difficult thing to get out of, but we must have patience with these individuals and know that they are basically coming out of a cult, because I was in it for 25 years, and it was 25 years of programming from the media, from Hollywood, and the LGBT activists, not to mention the twisting of scripture from the liberal theologians. And it really was a tough battle, but God was patient.
Well, today, okay, you know, they use terminology to take the most vile acts, the most vile sinful acts, by twisting and spinning words to come up with language that makes it makes the most vile acts palatable. And that's where they spend their time. But words do have meaning. And so you're going to find the truth right in God's Word, the Bible. That's where you're going to find the truth, out there today in the mainstream media. For example, if you watch, I get the impression when I watch, especially like Spectrum One News here, that they believe that the LGBTQ, the sodomite, they call it lifestyle, is not only acceptable, but actually preferable. Now, they don't come right out and say it in so many words, but the emphasis is there. To a regular, in other words, we have to spend more time and make sure we don't offend the LGBTQ. We don't want to offend, and you know, one pastor said, "Let God burn them quickly." But I call it the lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers. They added the queer part. I didn't. Okay, but here today, here if you love someone, are you going to tell them the hard truth, or are you going to butter them up and say, have a good time burning in hell forever?
Exactly. You know, I'm very thankful, Ernie, that I had Christians in my life who weren't woke, who did tell me the truth of God's word. But the difference is, unlike a lot of mean-spirited Christians, I had Christians who truly had the heart of Christ. They knew they had their own sin and their own issues, but they always spoke to me in love, and they were always so respectful. And it took me some time, but they kept watering that seed that had been planted. And I'm so thankful that I'm out of that life. To anyone who says that you love the LGBT individual, coworker, family member, whoever it is, but you don't tell them the truth of God's word, you don't love them. Because those of us who have come out of that lifestyle are so grateful to be free from that bondage. And for the average individual who is looking at what you are being shown on television, through Hollywood, through the media, it's all a lie. Unless you have been involved in that lifestyle, you really don't know how dangerous and destructive it is, and you're pushing those individuals into further rebellion against God, and they are never going to find any peace or happiness in that lifestyle. It is truly a nightmare lifestyle to be in, and if you look at the social media comments from every gay, lesbian, or trans individual who has given their life to Christ and been freed from that bondage and have come out of that lifestyle, they will tell you how miserable they were and how thankful they were that they found Christ. Speak the truth in love, no matter what. If they're offended, that's not your problem. It's not your problem to change them. That is God's problem. God will do the work, but plant that seed and do what's right, because you just might pull somebody out of that bondage.
Absolutely, and that's what we're supposed to do. And again, folks, no matter whether it's the sin of sodomy or whatever the sin it is, just like an abortion, You know, abortion is murder. God's word, the Bible says it's murder. The reality of it is today, the Bible says if you kill your child, you deserve to die, okay? But that seems like the farthest thing away from what is happening today in so many of these pro-life counselors, that they have been so, they've gotten so used to that sin of abortion being so plentiful out there today that, and I was watching some years ago, I was watching and was on that 700 Club, and they had this woman who had killed her baby, and they had these women that were saying, and she was saying how when she went to the crisis pregnancy center afterwards, how these women were so nice to her and so understanding to her, and how it made her know that there was hope. And then after she killed her second baby, they were even more understanding. And after she killed a third baby, and I'm saying ding, 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 and these women were talking about, well, you know, to whom much, you know, to whom there are a lot of sins to be forgiven. But the bottom line, those women should have said, look, you've committed a horrible, horrible crime. And but the very fact that you're still going out there and killing your babies, that means you're not repenting. There's no repentance there. And without any repentance, can there ever be forgiveness without repentance?
No.
No. There's no forgiveness without repentance, is there? And so with those women helping her by just going along and telling her how compassionate, how God can forgive her, but with obviously these women didn't know that God won't forgive unless there's repentance. There's got to be repentance there, huh?
Exactly. And I will tell you, Ernie, for the listeners, when I truly repented and realized what I had done, and I truly confessed my sins to the Lord, all that time that I had always had so much turmoil in my mind and was suicidal all the time and actually had attempted suicide, but I remember the night that I truly prayed and gave my life to Christ and repented, and I have to tell you, not only did God give me peace within, I knew I had peace about my past, but also that torment in my mind was gone. And there was something in that whole transaction in which God, I just knew in my spirit that he was letting me know that you and I are now good. And I knew I had finally gotten things right with God. And that's why I have been out of that lifestyle for 16 years. So nobody can tell me that if you truly repent and stay on the course with the good Lord above, that he can't help you through that, whatever your addiction or bondage is.
You discovered that peace that passes all understanding, didn't you?
Absolutely. And I will tell you, there are times where I have sat in church, and even though I have had to pay a price for my lifestyle, and God has had to do a lot of work and a lot of healing with me, even when I've sometimes been at my lowest, there has been that joy of knowing this is going to end. And I look forward to the day, you know, of being with the Lord and not knowing I'm not going to ever have to deal with any of this stuff again. And there's such a joy of knowing that you've gotten things right with the Lord and you have that salvation. And so I would encourage anyone who is still sitting on the fence, if you don't believe it, well, if you've tried everything else, what do you have to lose? You know, sit down and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and just study the teachings of Jesus and see how compassionate he was for the outcast and the broken and those that were demonized and sick, and just see how much he has such a concern and a compassion for people. And forgiveness is available to anyone.
Amen. There's got to be repentance. But, you know, let me just say this. First, I got to get the numbers out. The numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Mark in New York pledges 100. Thank you, Mark. Hey, George, what you just explained here and expressed is, unless it happens to you, I understand what you're talking about, but unless, you know, that happens to you, and, you know, when you try to explain to some people that are unsaved that, you know, that you have God, that you know that this fellowship that you have with God and you try to explain that to them, it's like, you know, unless it happens to you, it's very difficult to explain that relationship, because the Lord will speak to you. He gives you peace of mind. He does it in a way that is hard for us to tell about. Now, there's certain things when I just know that I know that I know. It's hard to explain how you know that, but we know that it's the working and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Alrighty.
And it's amazing how God will do the work, but if they will just step out on faith and give him a chance, repent and turn from all of that wickedness, and truly give God a chance, you have, I'm telling you, it's the best decision you will ever make.
Amen. From queer to Christ. Amen. George Cardinal, folks, we have this. Anyone that donates $40 or more, but, oh, by the way, you got to ask for it. If you don't ask for it, we won't send it to you. You have to ask for it, okay? And so I want to say Joyce in Ohio pledges $200. Thank you, Joyce. We're going to be coming up here after the break. There's situation. One of the things we've been fighting like the Dickens, and by the way, we showed a film last night in the church, and the people that were there all want me to show this film again this next week, for the people that weren't there. But I want to make sure, because it's a two-hour film, we showed it. We have a class we call, the Bible and Current Events. And this has to do with child sex trafficking and how our government, the United States government, is the world's largest purveyor in child sex trafficking. And they show you in this, it's really good. But before I show it again this coming Sunday, I'm going to make sure that when I do that the next time, that more people show up. And I do know we did have some pretty nasty weather, okay? But anyhow, this film was just absolutely, folks, I'm going to tell you, it makes you just sit there and watch to know what's happening. But the more you know, the more you know what to watch out for. We've got to stop this. This is a horrible thing, the destruction of the children. And it shows you in here how when people are ready, trying to expose and expose some of these sex traffickers, how all of a sudden the deep state shows up. But this is one of the reasons that we've got to get Trump back into office. They know that Trump's going to come after them, and he knows who they are. And we've talked about this before. And so, folks, again, this is why it's so important. It is so important that we win this next election, and we can expect the Democrats to do what Democrats do, election fraud like they've never pulled, but they're going to get careless, and they are getting careless. And we have to be there, and we have to be ready for it. God has raised us up to run to this battle. And so we're going to take a clip after the top of the hour and shows you who these mega-rich people are. And one of them is Oprah Winfrey. And I wish that, I know we're a radio. I wish you could see Oprah on this. She's, remember the fellow who finally went down for Bernard Child's abuse, pedophilia, Weinstein was his name?
Yeah. Weinstein.
It shows Oprah sitting next to him, chewing on his ear. But just unbelievable what's out there today. And folks, and you say, well, why doesn't any of this come out by the mainstream media? The mainstream media are paid to hush up. They're paid not to talk about it. Now, let me ask you this. If they'll betray you on that, if they'll betray you on the horrors of abortion, what is it that they won't betray you on? That's a good question, isn't it? Alrighty.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you want to hang around after the top of the hour with us, George, and listen to this and maybe comment on it, that'd be great. So,
is there a time for a quick question?
Yeah, go ahead, Joe. We got about three.
Did facts ever help turn you around? I'm talking about doing this for years. The past people I know that have converted from the lifestyle, they talk about the sexual addiction, the violence, the perversion, the alcoholism, the depression, the high suicide rates, and how many times they thought about suicide. Do all these negative things, is this discussed in the sodomite community? Does it have any effect on the people, or is this just something that's ignored and denied? Is it like people are in denial?
Everything you said is true, and it is something that is pretty much ignored, denied. They don't want you to know the truth, and if I dare speak about it, you know, the gay men may not like it, but I'm not lying. They just don't want it to get out there. But it is a very sad, destructive lifestyle, and so many people commit suicide, and the sex addiction, just people who've been murdered, raped, robbed, drugged, just meeting strangers for sex. It is I wish people knew how dangerous it was.
Right, the high crime rate. The other thing, years ago, one of the things I saw, the Homosexual Manifesto, and the first thing on it was free and unfettered abortions. And I asked some people that were in the lifestyle, why was that first on your manifesto? They couldn't answer, but I figured, see if you agree, because as long as the rest of the world is out killing children, we don't have any moral high ground to talk to somebody else about a sinful lifestyle. Or do you think that's true?
Yes, and I don't know why they would have included it either. But again, if they can just drag everything out there and make it acceptable, I think it helps make them feel better about their own sin and eases their conscience. But, you know, they're going to stand before God. They're not going to get away with it.
Right. Does any of that help talking to the community, bringing this stuff up, or is it just mostly testimony from people like yourself and people talking about God's forgiveness?
Those who are committed to that lifestyle and to their own sin and doing what they want, they absolutely hate what I say or what others say.
Okay.
I will tell you, from the number of gay men from around the world who reach out to me, they all say the same thing. I'm so miserable, and I want out of this lifestyle.
It must be an amazing thing to be able to help when people reach out, that you're able to help and help assist, find them, send them to the light. That must be a wonderful feeling.
Well, I'm grateful God has let something good come out of this struggle. That's what I prayed for. I just say, God, I can't believe you had me go through this just to come out of this and do nothing. You've got to make something good come out of it. So if I can just give anyone encouragement and help them, and especially parents or pastors who have LGBT kids, I'm just grateful that God has used me as a vehicle. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just a vessel.
All right, very good. And people out there, if you know someone that's in that lifestyle or death style, this book will help them. If you can put it where they can find it and read it, it can help them. Hang tight. We're coming up to a hard break. We'll be back right after this. And you'll want to listen to what's coming up. There's a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.